So last summer, just as we got this kind of break in the lockdown, my wife Jenny organised for us to go to Mull and Iona for a weekend. And this was a big deal for me because around this time I started kind of taking part in Celtic kind of practices of Christianity. I would start my day with some time of silence. I would establish a rhythm of prayer. I would commit to a community. And so for me to go to Iona, which was one of the cradles of Celtic Christianity in the whole of Great Britain, was going to be a very kind of exciting experience. Now, when we got there, I'm going to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed. I was almost expecting to step off the boat and go, as somehow I had this mystic moment with God. But actually, the ferry came to a stop. We jumped onto the quay and walked into the little village. So nothing particularly special happened. And then, of course, the other thing was because it was lockdown, everything was shut. Even the abbey was shut. And instead of a daily act of worship that the Iona community would put on in the abbey, there was nothing. And except the scaffolding, actually. So we walked around the abbey and we had a look around. And I guess I've got this feeling kind of, if only it had been more mystical in some way. But I do remember stepping there and thinking that actually, from this place into a dark and uncertain pagan land, Columba, who founded the monastery, or who founded that community, he led a monastic community-driven evangelization of Britain. So even though I felt nothing, it was still a privilege to be in an incredible place. And the reason this is important for us today as we think about joy is Columbus said this. He said, joy is the echo of God's life in us. That joy is the echo of God's life in us. That when we feel joyful, what it is, it's the presence of God's Spirit pouring out through our lives, through our actions, through our words, through our demeanor, through our attitude, that people can see that we echo the character and the nature of God in our living, in our walking, and in our being, and that is joy. Which leads us to tonight's kind of passage as we look at Habakkuk. Now, the thing about Habakkuk is, he's a contemporary with Jeremiah. And so for those of you who know your Bible history, you'll know that at this point, the nation of Judah is covered in injustice and idolatry. And so God's plan to help the nation start again is actually quite radical. The Babylonians are coming from the outside to conquer the Jewish nation, to send them into a period of exile where they will reassess themselves as a people. But in the meantime, Habakkuk is looking around his country. And quite frankly, all he sees is the injustice. As we read through Habakkuk, the sense you get from him is, Lord, I don't understand all the injustice and unfairness that's happening around me. I look with my eyes and I see all the things that are going wrong. What is happening there? In your country, Lord, amongst the people who've said to follow you, what is going on? What are you doing about it? And God, in his kind of dialogue with Habakkuk, he says, look, I see these things and I'm coming to put things right. Will you trust me on this? Because I say, woe to him who piles up stolen goods. I say, woe to him who builds up his house by unjust gain. I say, woe to him who builds a city with bloodshed. I say, woe to him who gives drinks to his neighbors so they are naked and drunk and covered in shame. I see these things, Habakkuk. And while I see them, I'm crying out to you back, Habakkuk, do not follow the idols or other voices which will lead you down other paths. Do not follow the idols that will lead you into injustice, that will lead you into decadence. Do not follow those voices. And at the same time, Habakkuk, write down what I'm saying to you now. Because in the fullness of time, you will see what I will do in order to bring this injustice to an end. This world is not the one that I, the Lord, want it to be. But one day it will be. I promise you that, that the end of time, the world that you see now, beautiful in part but broken in others, will one day be made whole. I want you to write it down, because you will see that promise come to fruition. And so Habakkuk hears this in his dialogue with God. And in his last response, he says these words: though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. And the lesson that Habakkuk has for us this evening in these words is this: that in the face of brokenness and injustice and pain, joy is a choice. Joy is something that we choose to do and choose to live in. Because Columba says, joy is the echo of God's life in us. And so when Habakkuk is facing this world of pain and injustice, his choice is to be the echo of God's life in his presence, just like it is for us. And the question we might ask is, what is that life? What does it look like? And funnily enough, I think it starts with Jesus. Because Jesus, when he came to a world that wasn't as he wanted it to be. But through his life, his death, and his resurrection, he started to show how it could be and how it will be. And it starts with a choice. It starts with people like you and me choosing to have joy in our lives, and that joy is the echo of God's life. You see, for Jesus, when you simplify these things down, and I love things to get simple, is that that life in each of us is when we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength and with all our mind. And that we love our neighbours as ourselves. And if that echo of life is in us all the time, animating us, breathing us, moving us, stimulating us, encouraging us, then that is the echo of God's life. If it's in me, if it's in you, if it's in your friend, if it's in your family, then together we have this growing presence of God's life in our communities and in our streets and in our city that people will see, and they will see joy is present no matter what else is happening. And if you want a picture of this, how this might look like when you kind of take this love God and love your neighbour and say, well, what might that look like? Well, as I said, I'm following these Celtic patterns in my own life now. And maybe it involves lifelong learning, as I'm constantly listening to God and learning from the scripture and learning from his voice about how to act and behave. Maybe it's intentionally being on a journey as I actually literally walk through life, that I engage in a rhythm of prayer, work and recreation, that there are times when I'm at work, there's times when I'm recreating myself, and there's times when I'm spending it with God as he speaks and ministers to me. Maybe I'm seeking God's will in the world, where I see how can I put God's love into practice in each of the situations that I come across. Maybe I live with simplicity rather than excess. Maybe I care for the creation rather than pollute it. Maybe I'm involved in healing fragmented communities, that I'm a person of peace that brings brokenness and restores relationships in my city by my actions. Maybe I follow God's spirit. I'm listening to what he's saying to me all each of these times and doing these strange and crazy things that come to our minds because God has prompted me. And maybe I'm involved in mission, that I want other people to know about the saving love of Jesus and how he can reconcile us to our Creator. Maybe that looks what it looks like. And maybe that's important, actually, because the world is a really broken place. Here's some things that I was thinking about when I put this bit of talk together. I thought about the Black Lives Matter movement. I thought about racial injustice. I thought about the conflict that was happening in Gaza and Israel a few weeks ago. And the pain and suffering that was about. I thought about my own kind of communities where there are families who do not have enough food to eat in one of the richest countries in the world. I thought about the power imbalance between men and women, which is being challenged by the Me Too movement. I thought about the power imbalance in the world economy, which maybe we challenge by the fair trade kind of practices that we bring up. And I thought about our planet being polluted and scarred and destroyed by our actions. And I thought about the injustice of leaving that to my kids to deal with when I'm gone. And I thought about what Habakkuk said, and he said, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds." And in a situation like this, joy is a choice. Because joy is the echo of God's life in us. And when we're faced with this life, maybe there are other choices. Maybe we hide from it, we ignore it, we don't seek to speak into it. Maybe we choose inaction, but in a broken world, joy is a choice. Or maybe we lose ourselves by following these other voices. God says to Habakkuk, "Of what value is an idol carved by a craftsman?" And today we don't follow statues, but maybe we consume too much. Maybe we throw ourselves into our work too much. Maybe we strive for power over others too much. Those are our idols today. And in an idolatrous world, joy is choice. And folks, as a kind of close, I want to pose this question to us. If joy is a choice, how do I choose it? And I think the Apostle Paul speaks into getting joy as that echo of God's life in us and earthing it in reality. And he says these words. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And I've wondered about this word because in the original language, it's got the same root as the Greek word for gift. I wonder if Paul is saying, rejoice. Every day is a gift. Every breath you take is a gift for you to choose God in each and every one of those moments. So no matter what is happening around you, choose every day as a gift to be the echo of God's life in this world. He says, "Let your gentleness be..." We are a witness of the world to come. We are witnesses, we are standing testimony to what happens when people fall in line with the Spirit of God and live as He intends. And if that causes difference between us and the world around us, or if it aligns with the positive nature of the world around us, it will show and speak to that world something of God. Let your gentleness, let the power that you have be used in an appropriate way so that it is evident to all who see you. He goes on. He says, "The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything." And like Habakkuk, we need to face the future in the faith of what is to come. Not what we see now in its brokenness, but the promise that one day God makes everything whole and that He sealed that promise through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And then he says this, "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." How do you do these things? How do you treat life as a gift? How are you a witness to what's to come? How do you live in that faith? By welding yourself to God. You see, I know we look at this and we think, oh, this is a list of things to do. I'm going to check off prayer. I'm going to check off petitioning God. I'm going to check off thanksgiving. I'm going to check off giving my requests. I think actually maybe Paul's been a little bit more subtle here. He's saying whatever it takes for you to weld yourself to Jesus, then you do that. Whatever it takes for you to just be consumed by his love and acceptance and grace so the Holy Spirit can pour his love into your heart, you do that. Don't abandon spiritual practices. If you want joy, joy is a choice, and it starts with you moving towards the Father. And so if welding yourself to God means getting out your Bible and doing a Bible study with your marker pens and your rulers and your highlighters and your note-taking, then you do that. If welding yourself to God means practicing justice in your community, then you do that. If welding yourself to God means going on a walk in the hills with your phone and all you can hear through the headphones is Chris Tomlin singing all the time, then you do that. But you weld yourself to God. Because when you weld yourself to God, the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, transcends, which is over and above and better than anything else. The peace of God, which is over, above, and better than anything else we can understand, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And when that is there, we can live with joy. Because at the end of time, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first earth had passed away. I saw a holy city and the new Jerusalem, God's dwelling place, is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. We have that promise. But the world is not as God wants it to be. But one day it will be, and we can live with that joy. Folks, will you pray with me? I'm going to read out some words from the Psalms just to close this time. Lord, hear our prayers. Listen to our cries for mercy. We are in distress. We call to you because you answer us. Can compare with yours all the nations you have made. Glory to your name, for you are a great
thank you. Sorry about the last minute technical hitch there. I'm sure we can find the bottom of that. But this, we can get Gordon's video will be available if you want to catch up on that. So that's the end of our service. I'm going to leave you just with a quick reading from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your faith, so that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you may be rich in hope. Thank you for joining us. I hope you have a pleasant bank holiday off tomorrow if you have it off. And hopefully we can see you in person before long. Take care. Bye for now. Oh, and before I say that, we're going to finish with the Rend Collective with their song called Joy. So that's it from me. Thanks again. Take care.
Yes. Outside our shadows, trust you with our sorrows. You're the song, you're the song of our hearts. We're dancing to the rhythm of your heart. We're rising from the ashes to the stars. The joy, 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 light in my soul. The joy, 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 making me whole. Though I'm broken, I am running into your arms of love. Into your arms.